Campus FM presents Talking Heads Season 3, brought to you by students of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change. And welcome back to Talking Heads Season 3, produced by students from the third cohort of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change. My name is Anna, and I'm a ISK student and an English language teacher from Russia. The scope of my interest includes ESL teaching, online education, sustainable society, and migration in relation to adult education. Welcome back to the show. Studying in Malta at the moment, I'm observing quite a lot of migrant communities on this small island, which contribute greatly to the island's economic, social, and cultural life. Meanwhile, migrant learners encounter several barriers when they arrive in a new country, in particular significant and time-consuming integration into a new language and culture. The relevance and importance of this process resulted into today's topic, so we are going to discuss with our guests migrants' integration through community-based education, in particular language learning and cultural literacy. I'm glad to introduce our first guest, Dr. Ahmed Bougri, the director of the Foundation for Shelter and Support to Migrants. Ahmed holds Doctor of Laws degree from the University of Malta. He's also a part-time lecturer in advocacy skills and migration law and society at the Faculty of Law at the University of Malta. FSM is a Maltese non-governmental organization focused on community development, adult education, research and service provision. It provides courses in English, Maltese and cultural literacy to different migrant communities in Malta, Filipino, Serbian and Arab. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio with us today, Ahmed.
Thank you very much, Anna. It's a pleasure to also be with you. And thank you for the invitation, and I send my regards to all our listeners.
As I know, FSM is oriented towards community-based education, and it focuses on providing courses to homogeneous groups who share similar language, cultural and employment backgrounds. Can you please explain why it is important to separate different migrant communities, let me say from Serbia, the Philippines and Arab-speaking countries, in terms of the learning process?
When a person is living in a different community, each community has different needs mm-hmm. when it comes to learning. Mm-hmm. Number one, when you put people in homogeneous groups, they are able to learn and support each other and build confidence, especially at the initial stages. For example, if you put an Arabic-speaking person who is able to understand Maltese in the beginning because there are so many similar words between Maltese and Arabic, and you put a Serbian person who has no idea, mm-hmm. whose language is so different, it demotivates. Mm-hmm. So we believe that in the beginning of the process, at least in the most basic times, it is important to separate the communities to build this confidence before you put them together in one class so that they can have peer-to-peer learning and also build confidence with each other. And we have found this to be a success because the dropout rate gets less, but also the learning impact is also greater.
Yeah, I think it is very efficient because they can support each other during the learning process.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah, a teacher has traditionally been considered to have a leading role in the learning process. If we talk about English language courses provided by FSM, you emphasize a learner-centered approach, which is based on identifying learners' needs, abilities, and prior knowledge and experience. Can you please tell us how the curriculum is designed by teachers to meet the needs of learners from different communities?
Yeah. Any curriculum that you develop must take the aspirations and the needs of the community into consideration. Mm-hmm. And so you cannot have a top-bottom approach where the teacher is having to create material to teach them. Mm-hmm. But the teacher has to start from where is the need of the student. So, for example, if you take Filipinos, most Filipinos who come to Malta to work in the care industry. And mm-hmm. so their vocabulary of learning, their contact with Maltese people is within the care and the health sector. Mm-hmm. If you take most African persons who have come here as refugees, they are working mostly in the construction sector and also in the hospitality sector. So the vocabulary, the learning experience is different from one community to the other. And therefore, what we have done is to let the student lead the learning process. So the mm-hmm. teacher is there to see what are your needs? How would you integrate first? And therefore, we can build your knowledge. We can build your motivation.
And which challenges do the teachers face in educating migrants from different communities? And how does this belonging to a certain community affect learners' results?
That is a very interesting question, because the teacher mm-hmm. has to learn the culture of the student. So mm-hmm. cultural understanding is very important. While the teacher herself or himself, who normally is a Maltese person, has to also educate their language mm-hmm. and their culture. So it is not one superior language against the other, but sometimes we find that in the classroom, the Maltese teacher has got certain expectations. So for example, the student's challenges with the Maltese employer translates into a resentment towards their teacher. Mm-hmm. And how will the teacher handle that and say, okay, I understand your frustration, but this is how you need to live. And again, we go from the bottom-up approach. It is not that you must learn how to live in Malta because the person is living here, but what challenges are you facing and how can you deal with those challenges in terms of how you relate with people? So some of these teachers, in a way, have to also learn the culture of the people mm-hmm. themselves, yeah. where they are coming from. Do you have supermarkets? If you go to supermarket, what do you do? Yeah. So the learning process is between the teacher and the student. And sometimes it is very difficult to get teachers with the cross-cultural competences mm-hmm. to learn this and to translate this also to other people, because the traditional method has been, I'm a teacher, I teach you A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
And then there's a block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So mainly the challenge is to get cross-cultural competent teachers who are able to understand this background
mm-hmm.
and to be able to transfer this knowledge and also learn this knowledge also from the students. Mm-hmm. That has been a challenge.
Yeah, but I guess you succeeded in it.
Yes.
Okay, let us move from teaching English to another area of knowledge, which is Maltese language and cultural literacy classes. As we know, the Maltese government has recently developed a new policy by launching the I Belong program for migrants integration. And it aims at supporting migrants in obtaining a long-term residence permit in case if they meet a number of requirements, including a successful completion of the Maltese language course and the course on cultural component. And as I know, your center also provides courses in Maltese and cultural literacy. And to which extent do these courses help migrants to integrate into a new language environment and culture? And do they really benefit from attending these courses? Or for them, it is just one of the formal requirements to be met?
That's a very interesting observation and a question. For example, since the requirement to have Maltese have been put in place, we have observed that there are certain migrant groups of people who would memorize an essay and go and write the essay.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never interacted with Maltese people, or they have never interacted with the culture itself and learned it from the bottom up. What our foundation offers is not the formal learning to meet the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is institutional, and that is where the education department and the human rights and integration department aims at. That is the requirements of the law.
Mm-hmm.
What we have found that what is actually important is when you create the environment for the person to desire integration, not only to fill a paper and pass a form, but to actually be able to integrate and interact with the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very important. So our approach is complementary. If not, we don't see ourselves as competing with this, but also complementary, because we take a very basic approach. We don't teach people because they have to go and get a qualification.
Mm-hmm.
We emphasize that it is absolutely important for you to be able to relate with your neighbors, to be able to understand. Because people who are dealing with you are not looking at formality. They are looking at how are you able to adopt to us into the multi-society? So there is room for both. Mm-hmm. And we know the institutions that are developing these courses. And I think that we want to complement that rather than be able to compete. Mm-hmm. One specific also thing that I want to mention for us is that we always maintain going to the people in their community. We have found that although Maltese language is made available to people for even at no cost, accessibility is another thing. Mm-hmm. This and also what the government provides is not these monogamous groups where they build confidence with each other, but it's signing and how many people we have. We have never looked at number. We have looked at the impact of what we are doing, because when you have two students who qualify, the migrant groups already, they will support themselves through the word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. In one of your interviews for the Times of Malta in 2011, you mentioned that African migrants have no future in Maltese society and consider Malta to be a transit point on their way to other European countries. Has anything changed since that time, or do you still think that African migrants are persona non grata in Malta? And if so, how can the situation be improved in the context of education to support migrants' inclusion into Maltese society?
That's a very interesting question. Of course, the context from 2011, 2019 has changed completely. Mm-hmm. And yet, they are very similar, because in Malta, until last year, Malta had no integration policy and framework. And therefore, even our society, even the giving of protection to most African migrants, over 80% of those who applied for asylum in Malta were granted asylum. Most of them have remained in Malta. Most of them have moved on to other countries. Initially, the idea was that these people will find a way to go forward to mm-hmm. other countries, or they will go back in their countries. And therefore, we did not prepare for an inclusion and integration of these people into the Maltese society. I would not say that African migrants are persona non grata, mm-hmm. but African migrants are still marginalized in terms of the way that we perceive their integration. The whole burden of integrating is put on the African migrant. You have to become like us. It's almost like you have to assimilate. You have to learn the language. You have to eat the food. You have to make. Mm-hmm. But we don't see integration as you have to. Mm-hmm. If I want to belong to a society, I must first of all have the desire, but you must also create the possibilities for me to feel that I belong. If that sense of belonging is not in me as a migrant, then you can give me all the tools mm-hmm. and I will not be able to integrate. And I think that one of the difficulties in our system is that we still treat African migrants as migrants, as mm-hmm. if one day they are going to leave the island. So, for example, families, people who have got subsidiary protection, have no family reunification for as long as they've lived here. So if I am not able to join with my wife and my child, you can teach me citizenship. You can teach me the language. But for me, I would never belong to this country. Mm-hmm. Why? Because my family is somewhere else. And so we are saying that with coupled with the integration, there must be a legislative change. Also, like in Sweden, mm-hmm. if I go to Sweden, I know that if I learn the language, in 5 years, I have a chance of becoming a long-term citizen, and in 10 years, I can apply for Swedish nationality. That is a motivation for me to learn the language, not only learn the language, to be able to invest my future in that country. In Malta, we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Integration is based on language learning, or he can speak Maltese, but I don't belong. Mm-hmm. You one day will go back home, but as long as you are here, learn to speak the language. And that demotivates people in wanting to be part and parcel of the society, because integration is more than speaking a language. Mm-hmm. It is creating a new identity. And that is why for us at FSM, we believe in going beyond integration to inclusion. Mm-hmm. Civic responsibility, civic participation, that the migrant becomes the driver of integration and inclusion by itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually mutual efforts should be made on both sides, as
on
you mentioned.
On both sides. Yeah. It takes two to tango.
Yeah. That was Dr. Ahmed Bougri. And once again, thank you, Ahmed, for being on the show. It was such an interesting discussion. I wish we could have more time for this.
Thank you very much indeed.
Now it is time for a break. After the break, we'll continue our discussion on migrants' integration with our new guests, and we'll look into the process of migrants' learning needs and aspirations more deeply, both from the teachers' and learners' perspectives. Welcome back to our show. For those who have just tuned in, our topic for today is migrants' integration through language learning and cultural literacy. And I'm glad to introduce our next guests, Christina Abella, the program coordinator at the English language courses for migrants called Blue Door English, and Adrisa Mane, one of the migrant students there. Welcome, Christina and Adrisa. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Hello.
Christina, the project Blue Door English is about teaching English to migrant students in Malta. How did this idea appear?
Well, it all began about 4 years ago, or over 4 years ago, when a bunch of people basically saw that there was a need to teach English to migrants at the open centers at the time in Halfar. And so that's where it began. And then eventually the Church of Scotland got behind it and the school became formalized.
Okay, and when students join the courses, how are they divided into groups in terms of their different learning abilities?
So we have probably about six different groups. They can be broadly divided into two, literacy and general English. So we assess the students' needs basically on the spot, and then we put them in a class according to their level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really good for them. Mm-hmm. And are these groups of learners homogeneous, with all students belonging to the same nationality or community, or heterogeneous, gathering together students from different communities and nationalities?
No, they're in no way a homogeneous group. They're actually very different. They come from diverse backgrounds and they're of diverse nationalities. You know, some of them are highly skilled, some of them are lawyers, some of them are doctors. Others have not had the opportunity to have an education or finished school at a very young age. So they're a very diverse group.
Mm-hmm. Is it efficient in terms of their learning?
Well, in terms of learning, no, it's quite difficult to have one curriculum that fits all. You know, some of the learners have very good conversational skills, but they have never learned to read or write. So that can present quite a difficulty to a teacher who's, mm-hmm. you know, who has this solid curriculum to work from. Mm-hmm. So it's quite challenging. That's a very challenging aspect of this school.
And I know that apart from general English, your program also offers English language courses and literacy skills for those migrants who cannot read and write. Is this course highly demanded among migrants, and do you have a high percentage of such learners?
It is highly demanded amongst migrants. We could say that literacy students can be divided into two groups. Some of them have never picked up a pen in their lives, so have never learned to read and write in their own language. So reading and writing is absolutely new for them. Then there is another group who have learned to read and write in their own language, but it's generally a completely different script, you know, mm-hmm. a completely different alphabet. So they need to learn the alphabet and the sounds that go with it. So yes, literacy tends to be one of our, I would say maybe at the moment we have a 60% of our students are literacy students. That's mm-hmm. not always the case, and mm-hmm. it fluctuates, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite a high percentage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, and is dropout rate high among learners, and what are the reasons behind it?
Yes, it is. One of the reasons behind it is the circumstances in which migrants find themselves. They have to prioritize work. Some of them aren't in Malta for very long. Some of them get relocated. So what we find is generally, if they have been allowed to continue living in Malta, they will come and go, you know, according to their shifts, according to whether they're able to make the classes. Work always comes first. And many of these migrants aren't only supporting themselves, they're supporting their families back home. So,
Yeah, so rock is still a priority for them. And, well, how is the curriculum designed to meet learners' main needs?
That's a very good question. As I mentioned before, one of the most challenging things about Blue Door is the diversity of our learners and the diversity of their needs too. So we have a basic curriculum and teachers are encouraged to adapt their lessons to suit their students' needs. So yes, flexibility is a very important part of being a teacher at Blue Door.
And your teachers are mostly volunteers, right?
Yes, they are all volunteers. We have 13 in all.
Wow, 13 volunteers, that's good. So, and now the question is about community empowerment. While visiting your center, I noticed that some community meetings are also organized there. Do such community meetings enhance learners' performance and their integration in a new country, and how?
Definitely. I think one of our duties or responsibilities as an organization that provides services for migrants is to connect with other organizations and to make sure that our learners know that and understand what else is available within the community. Blue Door English has built up a reputation with the migrant community. They have earned their trust. So we use this space and we use that reputation to try and promote other things that are going on in the community. And often the students are quite willing to participate. It's just that they haven't heard about, you know, these events going on. So we think that it is also not just important for them to know what's going on, but as regards their learning experience, you learn English in a number of different ways. And so I think it's extremely important for them to be able to attend these events and participate.
True. Thank you. It's like, because integration is not only about language learning, as you mentioned, but about community life.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Christina.
Thank you.
Idrissa, I would like to address my next question to you. You are originally from Gambia, and when you arrived in Malta, could you speak English?
Yeah, I speak English. I arrived in Malta, that was in 27 June 2018. I arrived in Malta. But the time I come to Malta, I can't speak the perfect English, to speak correct English. Yeah, then decided to go to Blue Door.
Great. So, and why do you need English, and how did your level change since you had started attending the courses in Blue Door English?
Okay, I need English to study English to improve my spellings and reading. So I was in the camp, so I told myself that I have to learn to read and write because it's so important to me. So I then go to Blue Door to know how to read and write, but it helped me so much. Because for now I try a lot in reading and writing. So that helped me so much, you know.
Good. So you completed literacy skills course.
Yeah, we complete because I was in the time I went there. I was in a class. Then Christina moved me to another class. Means that, you know, I have improved myself, you know.
Well, that's great. And did you find it comfortable to study in a group of learners from different communities and sometimes with different levels of English language?
Yeah, for me, I don't find it difficult. Besides, but others, maybe they will find it difficult. For me, the people going there, they speak, I speak their language, like Arabic. Those people, they speak Arabic language. So I speak their language. I communicate with them. We understand each other. Sometimes the teacher will ask us, you know, a question, so they will not understand. I will be there explaining to the other language that is this and this. So for me, it's not difficult for me to associate with them.
Yeah, that's like you can support each other in learning
English. In English, yeah.
That's great. And what do you find the most difficult about learning English?
For this point, it's like, you know, I don't think I find difficulties in learning English. The main problem is like the reading and writing. That's my problem. So to get this phonetics for words of English is like, you know, for me, it's a new thing to me. So the starting of it, so like it's so hard, you know, but as time goes on, it's no, I'm just used to it because I know some words in phonetics and other things. You know, I learn a lot in it.
Okay, so you find speaking easier than reading and writing.
Yeah, reading and writing, yeah.
Okay, I see. And what do you like most of all about learning English at Bludo English?
Yeah, mostly I like the teachers, the way they teach. I really like the way they teach and how Christina, I know, welcome people to the to Bludo. Yeah, because it deals with, you know, different people with different language and different culture. Mm-hmm. So with that, you appreciate everything.
And how does learning English help you to integrate into a new culture and life here in Malta?
Yeah, learning English, like the assistance of people, like to go to Bludo and learn English, it makes me to know many people. I know some people, their culture, and improve me in speaking their language because I speak to them in their language. If at all I don't speak to them in their language, I will not know how to speak the language. I will forget the language. So it improved me. So they will tell me that this is the way it is. It's not like I learn English, only English in Bludo, but I like the other's language in Bludo.
And the last question is, do you find English sufficient for communication in Malta? Or do you think that migrants still need to learn Maltese to live comfortably here?
People have to learn English and Maltese too. Because in this, you know, some people here in Malta, sometimes I speak to some people, they will not know what I'm speaking. Like English, my English, some reason I'm not understanding. So some people speak only Maltese. So in this case, it's better for us to learn the English language and the Maltese language, where it will help us a lot. In this, we can be associated with the people in Malta. We can know their culture and we know their, you know, like many things in it, you know, when you learn the language, because language is so good. I really like learning language.
I wish you good luck in your language learning and further integration into Maltese life, and thank you very much for coming.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Once again, thank you, Christina and Edrisa, for being on the show. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in. We hope that you learned as much as we did. And if you are interested in finding out more about the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change, please go to www.gla.ac.uk. To follow the journey of the third cohort of IMESC students, visit our blog at imesc-unmasked.squarespace.com. And that's it for this week. Please stay with us in the coming weeks to follow us as we engage in dialogues about important issues related to adult education for social change. Have a nice day, everyone.